Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 2nd of May, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Michael Masterman, chairman of W Resources, WRES. And Michael talks about their first T2 blast at the La Perla Tungsten Project in Spain. Also on the podcast, Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers Royal Dutch Shell, Reckitt-Benckiser, Lloyds, Metro Bank, and Restaurant Group. Plus, as always, I have those two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. Plus, by the way, you can see top 10 versions of these at the main page at voxmarkets.co.uk and a host of other content. Looking right now, you've got SP Angel's Morning View. The latest deal signals bullish for accelerating lithium demand. There's also an interview with Zach and Emerson CEO Hayden Locke. Plus, there's Malky's blog. Plus, there's Predator Oil and Gas Release Development Plan. That's a content podcast there, a blog, I should say. There's also an interview with Zach and Coro Energy. So check that out. voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Masterman, chairman of W Resources, and the ticker there is WRES. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Justin, great to be on Vox.
Yeah, I've just checked out the video which is attached to your release today, your RNS release, entitled La Perla Update and Mind Blast. There's a little video on YouTube, and it's about a half a minute, is it? Or 20 seconds. And
20 yeah. Seconds of blast.
Yeah, and it just shows being blasted there. And before we get into that and what that means, significance, and why you're doing that, give us a quick summary. W Resources, tell people, if they're not familiar with the story, exactly what you're about, please, Michael.
So W Resources is listed on the AIM, ticker WRES. We're focused on tungsten and tin in Spain and Portugal, with our La Perla tungsten mine being the flagship project, and our tungsten mine Regor in northern Portugal following closely behind. And we've got a great gold asset, São Martinho, in central Portugal.
Yeah, okay. Well, take us in. I mean, like you say, your lead asset here is La Perla up there and in Spain. And take us into where you are and what this mine blast is all about. Why do you conduct these kind of mine blasts?
Okay, so the great thing about the La Perla ore body is that the ore is at the surface. So the area, for those of you who've seen the blast, is sitting right on the surface. It's a hard rock mine, to be able to dig up and excavate the ore and take it to the crusher, we need to blast the material, and that's what you see there. And it's it's always very exciting when we run a blast, and this is the start.
Yeah, and the significance of that is, you know, at the surface, for people not familiar that with mining, is it's a lower cost operation, is it? Because when you have to start getting drill rigs in and drilling down sort of several hundred meters or whatever, it costs a lot of money, doesn't it? So being at the surface, benefits the economics, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, it's having a open pit mine where the ore is on the surface and the strip ratio, the ratio of waste to ore, is low. It's approximately 1.1 tonne of waste to 1 tonne of ore. That keeps your cost down right at the beginning. So because the ore is sitting on the surface, we don't have to dig a lot of ore away. We can blast it. We can have an excavator put it in a truck. The truck runs about 500 metres up a ramp and puts it in the crusher. Yeah. That's probably the simplest, lowest cost operation that you can get. And we're in a very competitive location in Spain for low cost mining.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, tell us where you are at the moment in relation to production and where you hope to be. It's like in 12 months' time or 24 months' time or whatever, when you're ramping up, Michael, if you could.
Okay. Well, just if you think about our production process, truck and shovel mining with a low strip ratio, the blast is the first stage of the T2 operation, the 2 million tonnes of ROM producing 2,500 tonnes of tungsten concentrate. What we're doing at the moment is that ore is being taken by truck to our crusher. Our crusher is fully constructed, fully commissioned, and is fully automated, so it can be literally run by one person. The ore is crushed through the crusher down to around about 10 mil. And then what's really important during May is we're going to feed that crushed ore into our new jig. We completed construction of the jig in April, and what we're doing at this very moment is commissioning the jig. We will definitely be able to feed the ore into the jig over the next couple of weeks, and that will double the grade of the ore before it then goes into the concentrator. Now, at the moment, we've got an existing concentrator which allows us to produce tungsten concentrate and tin concentrate. So what's happening, if you like, in the month of May, we're mining the ore, as you can see in the video. We're crushing the ore in the brand new crusher. We're jigging the ore, which doubles the grade through the jig. And then we will run that material through our existing concentrator to produce tungsten concentrate. The big change that will occur in a couple of months' time is in June, we'll complete construction of the large-scale concentrator, which is designed to produce 200 tonnes a month of tungsten concentrate. So we'll then be able to go from the mine through the new crusher, the new jig, into the new concentrator. And once all that's commissioned and operating smoothly, we'll be able to go up to 200 tonnes a month of tungsten concentrate. Mm-hmm. Putting that in context, that's around, at current prices, that's around $36 million a year in revenue, and around about $20 million per annum in EBITDA. Yeah. We then have a second stage expansion of that, where we go from 2 million tonnes of feed to 3.5 million tonnes of feed, and that allows us to further increase revenue and profitability.
Marvellous stuff. And how long, just reiterate again, how long, over what time frame is this going to happen?
Okay. Well, so we're literally mining the ore, crushing the ore, and in the next couple of weeks we're feeding that ore into the new jig and producing the product. We'll finish construction completion of the concentrated, the new concentrator with the large capacity, in June, and then from July we'll start commissioning that concentrator, and through the balance of the year we'll go from the current 20 tonnes a month to the design capacity of 200 tonnes a month.
So being
conservative, we just it. It's a process to take it up in design, and we're targeting December to get to design capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. And to put it in context, you are valued at around about 25 million market cap at the moment. So those figures there can be significant, can't they?
Yeah. Look, and we're very close to completing construction of the entire plant.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Michael, one final thing, or 3 points, I should say. If someone's listening right now, likes the sound of what you're doing, the progress you're making, but are not following the story, just give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
So number one, flagship mine La Perilla is very close to construction completion and will start generating significant revenues and significant cash flows through the balance of 2019. Secondly, we have substantial tungsten and tin production growth beyond that through both the expansion of La Perilla and the addition of the regular tungsten mine in northern Portugal. And third, we've got a great gold asset in central Portugal that's also going to add a lot of value to W Resources.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. Good to chat to you. And no doubt we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Justin. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is founder of FinancialOrbit.com, Chris Bailey. You're right, Chris.
Very good, thanks. Very good.
My ears and eyes on the bigger cap world. And so let's start. I mean, I know there's, do you know, I had a chart alert on Metro Bank. I know it's not as big as some of the companies we're talking about, but I talked about that a while back. I thought it was a good punt, but I was wrong. I got out at a loss. I think it's about a 15% loss for that. And I realized, you know what, it's not my speciality. And in fact, we'll talk about that in a bit. But before we do, what else is out there, Chris?
Well, let's start at the biggest cap. So we've had Royal Dutch Shell, we've had Reckitt Benckiser, we've had Lloyds Bank all out today. And, you know, obviously these are names which a lot of people have in their pension funds or their direct personal holdings and things like that. You know, Royal Dutch numbers were pretty much in line with what all the other large cup oil companies have been saying. You know, there's been a little bit of pressure on their refining margins. Their profits went down slightly, but production growth is building. I note they're spending a bit more money on CapEx, and the dividend was held. And, you know, my guess is many people are holding these ones because often you're getting 5-6% dividend yields at the moment, mm-hmm. and that they still seem to be very fundable. So, you know, no great shocks in the Royal Dutch Shell numbers. To be honest, analytically, there's not much value you can add. They're so well covered and so obviously exposed to big macro events. Yeah. But if you're holding it today, I guess your only conclusion is, yeah, you just keep on holding it. Shares, I think, are slightly up today, but I think it's more of a pension fund hold, really. You're not going to make an absolute fortune from it. It's a steady chugger.
Yeah, I just looked right then at the share price and it's like up 1.9%. I think, well, that means to me that shows the results are quite good, because obviously a massive company, you're not gonna have a massive jump up, but I mean that shows to me it's going in the right direction. I haven't really looked at the chart, but in fact it's in its trading range, seems between 23 and 25, but it's in the middle of that range, so it seems like that news has been you know, sort of welcomed, over the top,
yeah,
like
precise.
You said, but welcomed by the market.
Precise.
And, you know,
that's right. Yeah, it's an annuity stock. That's the way to think about it. It pays you a decent dividend yield. They're not going to cut it. They're probably not going to increase it that much. It's an annuity stock, and you sort of value that 5-6% dividend yield flow at a certain level. And obviously, there are macro influences, oil price, and whatever else. But, you know, can I get very, very excited about it here? No. Do I understand why people hold it in their portfolio? Sure. And from that basis, you know, you crack on. I think a bit more interesting here, if you're looking in for large cap ideas, it's probably the other two, Reckitt's and Lloyds. Reckitt's, we talked about a few weeks ago. They had, they were sort of caught up in the old individual issues, which obviously they used to be the parent company of individual before that got spun off a few years back. And they still might be impacted by some of those allegations and potential costs associated with it. I think I said at the time that 60 quid was a good level to be buying Reckitt shares. The shares are still beached at around about £60. They fell a bit below on all the allegations, and they've risen a touch since. The numbers today, it really just sort of a trading update, no great shakes, no great detail, but the numbers today were fine. They said to remain on track for their full-year sort of expectations. The hygiene spot, so it's a bit like Finish, brands like Finish or Vanish or Harpic are doing well, while some of the healthcare businesses, they actually said that there was a bit of seasonal weakness in things like flu medicine, stuff like that. So that impacted them slightly. Net-net, no great shakes. And I would still say Reckitt's is a solid buy here at 60 quid. Global company, good brands. I think they're going to split up, you know, sooner rather than later, the health and the hygiene business. So on that basis, you know, I think there's a forward story beyond just brands and consumer and everything else. Lloyd's is also an interesting stock. The share's slightly down today. It was up yesterday on some technical capital thing, which I think was good for their buyback. I thought the numbers today were absolutely fine. They said all the right things in terms of profits going slightly up and things like credit quality remaining strong. I think it's a share, though, that's wedded clearly to things like the Brexit debate and people's perceptions towards the UK economy. You shouldn't really expect the banks to move until you get proper clarity on that. But my feeling is Lloyd's, with its, you know, big mortgage book and stuff like that, is very wedded to the UK economy. And on that basis, I think it's probably 5 to 10 pence too cheap. It really should be 70 something rather than in the lower 60s. So I'm still a buyer there. I still would say today's numbers were quite reasonable.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff. Me and man I do on the weekend podcast has held Lloyd's for, in fact, since they bought them, me and him both bought in after or during the financial crisis, pretty much. We started scaling in at around about 40 odd pence, I think, and they went down to 23 pence. But and we got to the stage where we were a bit overexposed. And we said, if this goes through, it's not just us in trouble, because they hold a lot of mortgages in the market. So, but literally, we held on and we did very well at that. But he sold a big chunk, but still held a little bit left. And he's, so he's quite happy with the performance there. But it's a steady tick along stock, I suppose.
Precisely. You know, it's another one, the dividend, basically. And you are getting a decent dividend from, I would say, you know, if you're looking for kind of that total return sort of play, something like a Lloyd's to me is more attractive than a Royal Dutch, because you're getting a not dissimilar dividend yield, but I think you've got a bit more capital growth potential with Lloyd's. But you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. Okay, what's next?
Right, well, let's get on to the grisly stuff then. I mean, we've got to touch on Metro Bank as we're talking about the banks. See, Metro Bank, the shares are down 12-15% today when I last looked. I think there were three big problems with this one. Number one foolish error was that they stuck the statement out of 4:45 yesterday evening, which is a complete mad thing to do. You do not do that. That's not what a sensible FTSE 250 company does. You put your RNS out at 7 o'clock in the morning, like every other normal person does. So I think that was a big mistake. Were they trying to hide the bad news? Who knows? You know, conspiracy theorists might have different views on that. The second aspect is the numbers were pretty shocking. I mean, they said two really interesting things, which were, number one is they did lose some business, big depositors and stuff like that, because of course they bogged it up a few months ago and had to announce a money raising to basically plug a capital hole in their accounts. They basically overexpanded beyond their capital capability. So a few people quite rightly sort of said, hang on, if you can't manage that correctly, you're not having our deposits or business. Yeah. And they pulled away, you know, kind of sensible, right? So that impacted them a bit. But the real issue, and the profits were impacted by lots of other stuff going on, but the real issue is that they've announced this money raising months ago now, and they still haven't done it. And it's just complete and utter madness, because the thing is, if you're going to do a money raising, you know you're going to dilute shareholders. Yeah. That's the way money raisings go. You generally write, you know, at a 10, 15, 20, 30% discount, whatever it takes. And it was going to be at a decent discount, because it was obviously a bit of grisly news. They still haven't done it. Yeah. They claim that all the building blocks are in place. They still haven't done it. And all this is doing is creating a vicious circle on the share price, because every investor knows that as the share falls, the in price for the rights issue or money raise is going down as well. Complete madness. And I just don't get it. I really don't.
Do you know what? It's almost rule number one. Don't announce you can do a fundraise unless you've got it pretty much sorted, you know, because the share price will take a dip. You've got to lock people in before it's going to happen. And like you say, you know, you are just diving deeper here and diving deeper and deeper and deeper. You keep mentioning that. But and do you know what? A couple of things. I did jump in, like I say, this is not my normal stock. I'm not into big or sort of mid-cap stocks like this. I mean, if I go for bigger stocks, it's normally for the dividend. But I thought this would be a good punt. It's just fallen so much. But that was obviously a lesson learned here. But so you're right. Someone pointed out to me, first and foremost, two things. Like you just said there, their issue was the shares crash on risky mortgage bets, and they raise. And I think, hang on a sec. First of all, it's like you say, that is their bread and butter business, you know. And we're going back to almost the financial crisis where we had problems with mortgages. And like, if they can't get that right, there's a problem. Secondly, they are popping up everywhere in the high street. And part of me thought, okay, so they're a bit of a disruptor. And I think maybe they're not really. I mean, that's a reducing size market. The market's not growing there. People want to do more stuff online, I believe. I believe going forward, you know, next generational people want to do more stuff online, not less. I mean, I don't see the appeal in going into a bank. I just don't. If I can do it online, I will, you know? And I think it's for a generation of people who are not going to be here in like 20, 30 years, you know?
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, some people clearly they're being more flexible, bigger opening hours. You can take your dog in or something to the bank. They're trying to be helpful and flexible and consumer centric in that sense. But fundamentally, as an investment, I just don't get it. You know, the capital side worries me. The bog ups in strategy, the weird times of the release of the statement, it just doesn't add up nicely and well for me. So as a consequence, yeah, despite the newly improved share price, let's put it that way, it really doesn't interest me, so I'm giving this one a wide berth.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's one of the things. I never do well in punts. Whenever I don't look into something properly, and I need to do it now and again just to remind myself that I need to relearn the lesson. You know, because it's easy to forget a lesson. Learning a lesson is easy to forget one as well. And as long as you don't, you know, ever put too much money on it, it's fine. Like I say, I lost, but I did 15-20%. But it's taught me a lesson. You know, again.
It's better than being down 70 or 80%. And this is the discipline of markets, right? Every 70, 80, 90% loss starts off as a 10 or 20% one, yeah, in most cases. And if you've got that discipline where you say, look, I bogged it up, and you know, we've all done it and we all continue to do it. That's part of the play in the game. But the trick is, hopefully you minimize those ones and maximize running some great profits and gains on a few ones you get very right. You know, that's the key, the balance between those things. So, you know, take this more positive from it, Justin. At least you have the wherewithal and the capability to cut it, you know, to cut it and say, admit you were wrong and move on.
Yeah, right? And essentially, whenever I do a punt, the fact is, I'm under-researched. And also, it's usually outside my area of competence of where I normally invest, you know. And so I don't really know what I'm doing. I have less conviction. And because of that, I put less in anyway. And so I think, I don't really know what I'm doing here. So, you know, I don't convict to it. Like I say, and to the companies I really research on, I'm happy to go bigger on because I've done a lot more research. And I, for the long term, I'm more convinced about it. But I even now bring Metro's business model into question. You know, I think several red flags have gone up here, and I'm thinking, okay, this time majorly question this approach they've got. You know, but okay. Marvelous stuff. Anything else, Chris?
Another very quick one. Restaurant Group. We've talked about them before. Restaurant Group, Frankie and Benny's, Garfunkel's, and more recently Wagamama, which seems like a bonkers acquisition to me.
Let me just say something. Yeah, on the weekend, I went down to Cardiff and to meet the parents and stuff, and we went to see the Millennium Stadium, but the Principality Stadium. So we went to Wagamama's beforehand, and it wasn't that good. And my father said, haven't they just been taken over? I said, yeah, they have, the restaurant group overpaid, apparently. I said, I shouldn't think that'd affect the food, though. I shouldn't think it'd affect the food. Maybe it's just dodgy chef, maybe. But I walked out. I got home, like, the next day. We drove back to South Coast that evening. I got an email the next day from Wagamama saying, how was your visit? I didn't even open my phone in there. My father paid. I didn't use my phone. I didn't log into their app or anything. And I thought, I tweeted it out. I said, how does this happen? Well, and I saw an advert on CNBC yesterday that the company's now doing this. If you've logged onto one of their networks previously, they know exactly when you've walked into one of the stores, and they'll email you and say, how is it, and get feedback. And apparently they get a lot of traction for that. I just find it really annoying. I thought it was a bit Big Brother thing going on here.
What's Big Brother? No, yeah. Absolutely. No, big. Well, perhaps they're following this conversation before, you know, even more than we know it. But all I would say is a bizarre announcement today from the restaurant group. I'm not convinced by the strategy. The CEO who bought Wagamama resigned, you know, literally a couple of months after the deal completed, which again seemed absolutely mad. He's been replaced not by an insider, but by a guy called Andy Hornby, who was previously working at Ladbrokes Coral, which got taken over by GVC. Sure, I understand why he's been kind of pushed out of that role. Seemed a bit bizarre going from gambling to kind of food restaurants and casual dining and everything else. But there you go. But I remember, of course, Andy Hornby from his days at HBOS, and of course where he presided over what can only be described as an absolute shocker. So for me, this is a bizarre appointment. Somebody who's not really been in the industry. Sure, Andy Hornby was in Asda right at the start of his career, but you know, someone who really bogged it up at HBOS. I'm not convinced actually did a great job at Coral Group or Ladbrokes Coral. And now he's been appointed to be CEO here. I don't know who's the more desperate, restaurant group or Andy Hornby, but there you go. All I know is, again, I'm not rushing to go to their restaurants nor buy the shares.
Yeah, no, exactly. I wasn't impressed with that. Hopefully it's not a reflection, you know, on the management, but maybe it's just an off day for the chef. But yeah, that's spoiled that. But anyway, also just the spying on me. I don't want you to tell me where I've been. I know where I've been.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it is worrying.
No, about that.
Marvellous. Yeah. Thanks for that, Chris. We'll catch up next week, fella.
Sounds planned. See you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Haydale Graphene. That's H-A-Y-D, of course, up 2.4%. At four, it's High Growth Capital, GOT, is the ticker there. No movement today. At three, Bidstack Group, BIDS. Down 1.36%, 16.3 pence. Very rare you get down days in bits. Yesterday, unbelievable momentum. The buying went crazy. So it dropped like 9%. And all of a sudden, buyers came in. Buy in the dip, stupid. That's, of course, what BID stands for. Buy in dips. And literally, it went back from 9% down to about 1.5% up at one point, and then it just dropped back a little bit. But phenomenal reaction of buyers to sellers. At two, Zenith Energy, up 20%. ZEN is ticker there. And number one most followed company is WDC Wide Sales Group. And I think it's going to be changing soon. Its name isn't Iconic Labs, I think. Top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Extract Resources Company and Manika Alluvial Gold Update. At four, JKX Oil and Gas, WM3 Initial Test Results. At three, Valrix, Acquisition of Intellectual Property and JV Agreement. Oh, what's that then? Eco Energy at two, final results. And the number one most liked RNS came from Predator Oil and Gas, Ramhead Licensing Option, 6030 Technical Update. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.